we worship you this evening. We lift up holy hands. We recognize that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to whom you show mercy. As we gather, Lord, I in particular, I talk under the covering of my fathers, Pastor and Mommy. I'm trusting your mercy and grace flowing through them to help to bring forth a word in season, a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, a word that, Lord, will prepare a highway for you to reveal your glory in our midst. As I ask you go into your word, Father, I ask for grace, I ask for mercy, that will speak through me, help me to speak as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of the world things both new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Father, I also pray, help me to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary, that the word goes forth, will cause our wills to become more humble, cause our minds to be further enlightened, revelation that comes from the word today, and our emotions be further controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We declare thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our midst today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I set you at my right hand. I trust that, Lord, you will give me what to say in this hour, bringing glory and honor unto the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 4. We read from verses 2. We read down to 4. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be what? Beautiful and glorious. Let's say together. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be what? Do two things. Beautiful and glorious. They are not the same thing. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Please, I wouldn't mind if somebody can help me play something, you know, on the keyboard, something quiet. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it shall come to pass that he that is what? Left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called what? Holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Next verse. When the Lord shall what? Have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by what? The spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. You see, it's after verses 2 to 4 takes place in the body of Christ that we can experience the next verse. Next verse, please. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Notice that I said those that escape from Israel. We're going to explain by the grace of God. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon our assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and a shine of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be what? A defense. Next verse. Let's just read it. And there shall be what? A tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge for a covert from storm and from rain. So you see, verses 2 and 4 must take place before we experience verses 5 to 6. Praise the Lord. So I said the title of the message once again is the branch of the glorious branch of the Lord. That is the end point where we are going to. That is what God desires in this day. So, and as I start meditating, I believe you should know by now, when the Bible talks about a branch, it is talking about the body of Christ. It says, the body of Christ shall be glorious, shall be beautiful one, and shall be glorious. Let's open my Bible to the book of John chapter 15, verse 5. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Are we there? It says, I am the vine, and ye are what? The branches. Touch your neighbor, say, you are the branches. So Jesus is divine. So it's clear from what you can see. So I am divine, and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you notice earlier on in Isaiah, we already said, talking about the fruits. We'll go back there later. But what I want us to pick out as we're going to continue the message is the word shall be. Let's say together, shall be. That means that it's a process. It's a process that starts from verse 2 and it's going to end in verse 6. It says that it shall be what? Glorious. It shall be beautiful. It says the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious in that day. That day speaks of this day, this third day from Christ. This is what God determines to do in this day. This is the only agenda that God has, to bring that branch, you and I, to be beautiful and glorious. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. So I'm trying to explain with New Testament scripture. So we're not just looking at types and shadows. The branch here already, we know that speaks of the body of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Are we there? It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed that day. It is that word shall be. You can see here, it's talking about the body of Christ. He said, when it shall come to be. That means it's a process that the body of Christ, that branch, must go through so that it can create that cloudy pillar by day and fire by night. Praise the Lord. So, but as I began to study, we should all know this, I discovered that there are three kinds of branches you find in the body of Christ that will undergo, a particular branch will undergo this particular situation and bring forth fruit. Let's open our Bibles once again. Let me first of all put the summary here. I say we have three categories of branches in the body. First, we have the branch that bears fruit. Say the branch that bears fruit. Then we have the second branch that does not bear fruit. Then the third branch is the one that does not abide in him. All in the vine. Just Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So let's open our Bible book of John chapter 15. I will read. Let's look at verse 2. First of all, let's look at the branch that does not bear fruit. You see, it is not automatic because you are a branch in the vine that you will bear fruit. That is the mistake that many Christians make. They assume that because I'm a branch of a vine, it is not automatic. Praise the Lord. So we see John chapter 15, verse 2. What does it say? Every branch in me that does what? Beareth not fruit. What does it do to it? It taketh away. Let's say it again. Every branch in me, say in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, let's stop there. That is the first branch we're going to talk about. It's not a portion. I believe we're all bearing fruit in this house because we've been taught on how to bear fruit. If you are taking those confessions regularly with all your heart and you believe in faith, you're going to bear fruit. You see, there's a process of bearing fruit to perfection. You see, I believe we have all started the process. So, but it says here that there are branches in him that don't bear fruit at all. They are refused to bear fruit. So, this is the first stage that you see, which I've read. And it said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he does what? He takes it away. Now, hold that word, take it away in your mind. And let's read our Bible book, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. Isaiah 57, verse 1. Are we there? Say, the righteous, born again Christian, perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And the merciful men are what? Taken away. And the merciful men are what? Taken away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. So you can see that branch there. Love. It's an act of love. You see, it says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it takes it away. So Isaiah now tells us that, look, a righteous man, a born again Christian, that does not bear fruit, God takes him away. And he says that, why? He said, for the evil to come. Put it back in Isaiah. He can't stand what is going on. He says that the righteous person, for no man dare to die, as you do, and then the merciful men are taken away, and not causing that the righteous is taken away. Why? From the evil to come. Because we are in the evil day. Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So God looks at this branch that has been in the vine for such a time, long time. And he sees that it's not bearing fruit. So just sufficient fruit. And he takes it away. Why? For the evil to come. He says that I will keep you from the hour of temptation. That will come to try them that dwell upon the earth. When that day. But this will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But he says that God is saying, I'm going to take that branch away. And the best example I can give again, if you hold that word in your mouth or take it away. Let's have my Bible book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at Paul. He's an example of a Christian. Born again Christian. Tongue-talking Christian. You know, Bible talk about Paul. He said, the Corinthian church. He said, you are behind in no gift. But look at what he says. He says, it is reported commonly that there is what? Fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as what? Named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Let's move on to verse 2. Thank you, Lord. And you are puffed up. And you are puffed up. And I'm not what? Rather mourn that he that had done this deed might be what? Taken away from among you. So Paul is saying here, you can look at the scriptures, you can join them together, compare them. So God is saying that, look, Paul is saying that this is an example of a born again Christian in the divine. He says it's not bearing fruit. Or let me put it, it's bearing fruit in the opposite direction. The works of the flesh. But the works of the flesh are this: adultery, fornication. I follow him. So it's bearing fruit on the other side. So Paul says, there's a kind of thing, it's not even heard among the world. He said, are you members of the congregation? You have not mourned and pray that such a person, you know, take away is not that, take him out of church. It is God that does the taking away. True, mature, spiritual oversight, which is what Paul said. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 3. For I verily as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, I've judged already. That word judge is very important. We're going to come to it later on in the message. As though I were present concerning him that had done, so done this next verse. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, next verse, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirits might be saved, what? In the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous is taken away for the evil to come. So God intervenes. Instead of this boy to continue in sin, die and go to hell, God takes him away prematurely to heaven. It's an act of love. It's an act of love. It's an act of love. We know that this boy repented at the end in 2 Corinthians, but that is the first set of branches that you can find in the vine. And there are a lot today in the body of Christ. Thousands. Millions. It's only the remnants that are bearing fruit or desire to bear fruit. That will not be a portion. But we need to talk about these things. So that boy is saved so as by fire. That's what 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15. Let's open there just to put the scripture behind it. This kind of person or people in the body, they suffer loss. It is not the best situation. What it says, if any man's work shall be burned in this day, he says he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, you see, we're going to look at the reason why this boy, one of the reasons why this boy fell into this kind of problem. So, the second type of branch that we have are branches that don't abide. John chapter 15, verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John chapter 15, verse 6. This is another branch in the body. The first one, it says it takes away. This is another branch. I'm starting from a negative, moving to the positive. So, if a man abide not in me, is cast forthward as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is the story of a Christian that does not abide, and backslides, and dies in that state, and goes to hell. Now, this would not normally happen to a baby Christian. It would take somebody that has fulfilled the criteria, I think in 1 Corinthians 6, because you've tasted the word of God, I've done this, I've done that. It's not a baby Christian. Hebrews 6. So if that kind of person, we're not talking here about a newly born again Christian, even though we shouldn't indulge in sin. You know, he's still trying to find his feet, he's lazy, about, he doesn't understand spiritual things. We're talking about somebody that has walked with God to an appreciable degree by reason of time. He's been teaching the word, you understand? If you now say that, you see, but what I want to see is that's this state starts from stage one. This state that you see here starts from stage one. Now, the final branch I want us to look at, which is the branch that shall be glorious, is the branch that brings forth fruit. John chapter 15, we'll go to verse 1 again. Thank you, Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is what? The husbandman. Next verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And this is the second one. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. So you see, what we see here, when I was studying, that word purgeth, you can see it in Isaiah that we read. He said he's going to do some house of Israel through the spirit of burning and judgment. But what I want us to see here is, out of these three branches, you know, you can already see the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold Christian there. But we are after the ones that bring forth fruit that Isaiah is talking about. That in this day, the branch of the Lord shall be glorious. What I want us to see here is that it's not every branch that is going to be glorious. You see, on a tree you have many branches. So it's not only one branch. But it is not every branch that is going to be beautiful and is going to be glorious. Now, why is it so? Because they refuse to bring forth fruit. Or let me put it another way. They refuse to undergo the purging. You see, God has destined that every one grass in the field will be purged. There's no exception. Once the day you get that, this is why when you look at the perfection message, there's no way you can turn away from it. You see, what makes you bear fruit in the other direction is the sin nature. So you see, if you don't get rid of the sin nature, you dominate it, you cannot bear fruit. So the purging here is not, when you hear the word purging, don't let your mind think of negative things that maybe something that makes you. No. It's talking about getting rid of the sin nature. This is because there are always two natures that are in contention at any point in time in our souls, in our bodies. So the one that dominates is one that brings forth the particular fruit you see of that. Are you following me? So everybody, as I put here in my notes, that is destined to undergo this purging. Every branch is designed by God to undergo a purging that will bring forth much fruit. And you see, in my studying, the responsibility to purge is on the Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are we there? It says, but in the great house, let's forget it. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Nobody stands as a vessel of gold. Next verse. But if a man, say if a man, conditional. Therefore, purge himself from this, it shall be what? A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So the responsibility is on the branch to purge himself. God is not going to do it. Now when I say responsibility again, it's not that you can do it by yourself. The Bible says that that it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But God's design is that every Christian, because of his sin nature, we're heard for the fall, since the fall of Adam, that every Christian should purge himself so he can bring forth much fruit. So he has designed a system where he said, okay, when you start purging yourself, he allows that purging to come so that he can bring forth much fruit. But there are some Christians that will refuse to use the things of their purification. If you understand what I say, there are some Christians that will refuse. That was, it was only Esther that was chosen. When I said use now, not that they did not use. They must not use as they should have. For Esther to have been chosen, he must have used that thing as diligently, like he was supposed to. Are you following me? So, that is that. Then you find out, I put it, I said that, like Ariel said, we purge ourselves from residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. That is our responsibility to bring forth much fruit. Now, if we do not purge ourselves, it's automatic. It's not that, okay, if I'm standing in the middle, so if I don't purge myself, I'll still be okay. No. The moment you don't purge yourself to bring forth fruit, you'll be bearing fruit in the other direction. That's why you see, Paul says this in the book of Galatians. He says that the flesh lusts against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another, that you will not be able to do what you want to do. So he now lists the work of the flesh, and now lists the fruit of the spirit. So it's hard that you are walking in this direction to bring forth fruit when you undergo. You see, the process of purging is what removes the sin nature so a life of God can fill the soul and body, which is the root cause for the fruit of the spirit. Now, if you don't go in that direction and you are negligent or slothful or lazy, you find that the sin nature that are in the soul begins to bring forth fruit. Adultery, fornication, pride, covetousness, idolatry, all those things that we confess when we are about to pray. As in Galatians, praise the Lord. So, but God's design is that we bring forth much fruit. That's why the master said, occupy till I come. It's not occupying physical, that is part of it. But he wants us to occupy the soul and the body with the life of God so we can bring forth much fruit. Praise the Lord. So, like I put it there. Now, what I want us to see, back to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. It says that in that day shall the branch of the Lord be one, beautiful and glorious. You see, our job is to purge ourselves to be beautiful. It is God's job to glorify. That is the responsibility we have. It is as you purify yourself. As I said, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are beautiful. Then the master now comes, when he sees that beautiful fruit, precious fruit of the earth, he now comes to glorify it. Are you following me? So, I put it, I say, beautiful speaks of the beauty of holiness, which is the perfection of the love of God. After the emphasis has come recent time when we were sharing about holiness unto the Lord, and particularly we were sharing about holiness becoming the house of the Lord. We are in that season in which God wants that fruit of holiness, which is love, to come forth speedily so that it can glorify the house. Praise the Lord. Let's move from our Bible to the book of Psalm 96, verse 9. So this first stage is to be beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 96. So let's read together. Oh, worship the Lord in the what? The beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. If you read the Old Testament, when God said they should make garments for Aaron, he said that garment that I'm making for him is for beauty and for glory. Exodus chapter 28, verse 2. Exodus 28, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother. That is, Moses should make it. I follow him. For Aaron thy brother, for what? For glory and for beauty. But it's not only for Aaron, also for Aaron's sons. Aaron is the type of the high priest. Or the certain that God has said, you know, I and the children. Verse 40. Let's look at verse 40. So he now says the same thing now for his children. He said, and for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. The difference here is in what they put on. Aaron put on more garments than the children. I follow him. And when he's talking about garments again, he's not talking about the dress you wear. These are just types and shadows. But when you talk about rain, Bible says that if we, in this tabernacle, he's talking about the clothing of your body. Are you following me? So you find out that the degree of which Aaron's holiness has grown, if you look at that scroll, what he's putting on is more than what it, but you see, it's the same thing. It is for beauty and for holiness. So nobody's exempted at a different levels. Praise the Lord. And I put it here. I said that, you see, the day that you put on that garment, or the day that you perfect holiness in the fear of God, or in the day that you are able to rear up your temple, like I said, God will fill you with glory. That's what you see in the story of Solomon. You see, Solomon's responsibility, using types and shadows now, was to build according to the pattern that David gave him. But you see, in the seventh month, when he finished the building, God now moved in to fulfill his own part of the covenant. He filled the house with glory. Are you following me? The same thing happened to Moses. Let's talk about Exodus chapter 20, and we'll look at verse... Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire unto the morning. You can link that to Isaiah that we read. You see, once that the body becomes beautiful, the branch becomes beautiful, I follow me, by perfecting the love of God, then God moves into filling with his glory. So like I said later on, first of all, the branch has to become beautiful, then it has to become glorious. God now fills the house with his glory. Let's turn to the Bible's book of James chapter 5, verse 7. That's why the Bible says that the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. What is that precious fruit? You see, what God is looking for in his body is holiness, the love of God perfected. Are we there? It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, who is the father. If you go back to, we don't have time to, John chapter 15, verse 7, my father is the husbandman. Say, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That is talking about which is Lord, the perfected love of God. And for the and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. You know, the rain that is talking about doctrine. Next verse. Say, be ye also patient, establish us for the coming of the Lord right now. You see, what God is waiting for, or what is hindering him from keeping his own part of the agreement, is the precious fruit of God, which is the love of God, the perfect love, which is him now, the holiness that we're talking about. Praise the Lord. So once God sees that, automatically moves in and fills the house with his glory. But see, we have a problem, and that is the problem of branches in the body that refuse to bear fruit by undergoing the purging of a sin nature, and then end up either, if not taken away, falling off when they don't abide, and then they are cast in the fire. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. With that thought at the back of your mind about until you receive the former, early, and the latter rain. When he speaks of doctrine, as we all know, Deuteronomy 32. Doctrine, you know, we have a principle of a Christ life, the foundational principles, and then the ones that will bring us the latter rain, which will perfect the fruit. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. Are we there? So Paul began to talk to the Hebrew Christians, and he said, for the earth, he wasn't talking about the physical earth, he was talking about Christians here. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain, that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth what? Say herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth a blessing from God. That is glory we're talking about. Next verse. That is the branch that allows. And but that which beareth what? Thorns and briars is rejected, that is now unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt. That is not our portion. So you can see those two categories there again when Paul was talking. Because he was warning the Christians, the Hebrews, and he said, look, they wanted to go back. It's all about perfection. He said, if you go further, he said, we are not of them that draw back with perdition, but of that to believe the saving of the soul. So he began to tell them, but you guys, you can't go back home. There's no going back in this way we are in. We have to bring forth. Now, what's he saying? Look, God has poured out so much rain, you know, the former and the latter rain. And what he's looking for is that precious fruit of earth. Now, he's like, after receiving the former and the latter rain, and you still refuse to bring forth fruit, I begin to bring God's thorns and briars. He said, that kind of branch or that kind of earth is now unto causing to be born. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So I put it here, taken away. It's the same thing. That when God looks at a situation and he sees that this person, after all the person I received, I've invested so much in him, I've been patient, like that tree that I planted in the vineyard, and he said they came there through the vine dresser. He said, I've come to this thing and he's not bearing fruit. This is the third year. He said, the vine dresser said, oh God, please wait. Let's give him one more year. Let me dunk about it. You see, what God is doing in the body of Christ now is that he's dunking the body. He's dunking the body. It's because when this thing starts, as I said, two thoughts have been cut off. You know, I don't mean to talk about this, but we have to mention that. So I just mentioned, we already know the scriptures. But I'm saying, the guy, I believe there is nobody amongst us that is part of the two thoughts that have been cut off. Because we've been taught what to do, and we are doing it. And it's mercy and grace. Praise the Lord. So I put it here. I say that, why is this message important? I already mentioned it in passing. I said, God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting to see that fruit. Once, if he sees that fruit, you know, in sufficient measure, I follow him in what we call the critical mass, glory will fall. And I can tell you from what we've been taught, we're in that season where we're approaching that critical mass, if we are not there. Good morning, Jesus. I'm going to get to it, sir. You see, God has put some things in place to make sure that critical mass comes up. You see by the time we get to the end of the message. You see why we are in a season whereby you see you're bearing fruit now. It's not going to depend on you alone, but the corporate anointing. That's what I'm getting to. You see, you because if you sit down, I've looked at this and thought, oh God, but this I've been struggling with it for years. God, how come I going to? But I discovered one of the things that God has set into motion now is the end time joker that God has presented. The winning card. That is, if you come together. Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Don't think about physical enemies. It's the enemy, the carnal mind, those things that we struggled with over the years. So through the corporate anointing, what you've been struggling with individually alone, when you join this prayer and you begin to pray, it's not only you. You contribute your quota. You find that two will not put. So you just find that what should have taken another 1 year, God will do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. Then the glory will come. Suddenly, that's why this message is critical now. Don't think about the branch that is not bright. But just I have to give us that background to know it is there. Praise the Lord. So I put it, I said that God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, which is love. You know, and once he sees that, he's going to fill the house of glory. We read in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, where it says that he's going to purge, you know, and he's going to do all kinds of stuff. They said that branch will be holy. See, that his escape from Israel shall be holy. Let's just read it one more time. Are we there? Verse, yes. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, that remained in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among living in Jerusalem. You know, the verse that is before says that they that escape of Israel, the remnant. Where do they escape to? They escape to Zion. I follow him higher ground. Praise the Lord. So I also put it here. Second reason is that, you see, God needs the branch to rule the nations. You see, it is from the branch that you get a rod to root from. You see, with Aaron's rod that budded, spoke of his authority. So you can't get a rod to rule without a branch. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So you see, God needs the rod that bears fruit to rule. So you see, we can't rule the nations. You see, but you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the governor among the nations. How come we have not seen that ruling over nations as we ought to? Because the rod is not ready. So we shall send forth the rod, we sent out of Zion, rule in the midst of our enemies. But we are in that process which Aaron's rod has budded, has brought forth blossoms, but it's now about to bring forth almonds, which is the much fruit we're expecting. And now that's why I told Jeremiah, I said, what do you see? He said, I see the rod of an almond tree. He said, because you have seen that rod now, you have seen well. I will hasten my word to perform it. Are you following me? So that is where we are now. But like I'm saying, the reason is that God needs the rod of strength, the branch, to rule. That is why he says that this man child was caught up and his destiny was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. He was caught up with the throne of God. So that is the second reason why this branch is very important. And then the third reason I mentioned in passing, I say that the branch is to purge itself or be purged by God through the spirit of burning and judgment. See, the responsibility, you see, is on you and I to purge ourselves. You see, like God has made it so easy. You know why I know? Let's, Isaiah 4:4. Let me just take it a step at a time. Let's Isaiah 4:4. It says, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth, talking about the cleansing ourselves, you know, of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Now, look at Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 3. You see, this situation should not have occurred if people diligently apply themselves to purge themselves. It's when they do nothing about that God now comes on the scene. And it's going to come on the scene through those that purge themselves, the Jewish army. Say, fire goeth before them. What does it say? Say, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud. So you see, he's talking about infirmities, you know. Yea, all that do wicked, you know, wicked person, one that casts destruction behind him, says, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that he shall leave them neither root nor branch. Next verse. But unto you that purge yourself, they affirm my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Says, arise, shine, for the light is come, for the glory of God has risen upon you. Says, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of a stall. Next verse. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. But in that day, of us. You see, you understand again. Once you have a set of people that undergo the purging, that yield themselves to be purged, the standard has been reached. So those on the other side that refuse to be purged, that is the Jewish army that is about to come out. He says that, a fire goeth before them. He says the people's faces are pained before them. He said, behind them is the wilderness. Are you following me? He said, they will enter by the window. That is, they will climb up the wall. You see, there is no physical wall or even any kind of wall that can hinder this move when it begins. Once it starts and God gets that crop of people, the branch that purge themselves using the blood, the word, and spirit, get out of myself, because I don't want us to begin to think in a negative way. We are practicing the principles of perfection. Let me just make it very simple. Once that people, you see, again, none of us can come into it yet, except under covering. It's like they're about under covering. See, because if you look at, I can't remember the scripture now. You see, if you look at the army, there was always a leader, what's the scripture? Is it Micah? You know, the breaker company. The Lord is at the top. Their king is, then you have the others. So you see, so we are somewhere there. So you may not be a king now, vitally, but you are behind the king, and the Lord is at the head. I follow him. So, praise the Lord. So, now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. God has made it very simple, every Christian. He said, if you will therefore judge yourself, you will not be judged. You see, this is where our diligent walk in the Spirit comes in, where you have to be honest in everything you do. But I said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands, he has a pure heart. that is, something happens at the thought level. I say, ah, Lord, this is covetousness. Please, I'm sorry. I judge myself. You don't condemn yourself, but you identify it as wrong. You don't leave it there to fester. Are you following me? What does it say? For if you will what? Judge yourself, ourselves, we should not be judged. So you see, it is not, God does not desire to bring that judgment upon people, so to speak. But he leaves the ball in our court. Okay, give you a chance. Which is a test of the degree of the honesty of our hearts. If you are dishonest, you say, it doesn't matter. I'm okay like this now. Why do I have to be doing this? It's okay. It doesn't really matter. Maybe it's just myself. I follow. So this is the way of escape. It says, if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Now, let's look at the how. How are we going to attain unto this? Let's go back to our prisoner Isaiah, where it says that those that escape from Israel. Verse 2, I believe it's verse 2. Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4. Verses. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped out of Israel. So let's say escape of Israel. Now what does that mean? You know, Pastor has taught you, you have Israel, you have Jerusalem, and you have Zion. Our destination is Zion, like it says in the next verse. I follow him. So what does that mean? Israel speaks of the outer court Christian. In the tabernacle of Moses, he had three compartments. You see, the biggest area that surrounds the tabernacle proper is the outer court, and it was not covered. So this speaks that Pastor has talked about those that live in the natural. You know, they just are outside there. You know, the place is not covered. You know, it's exposed to the elements of the air, the presence of the power of the air. So it speaks about Christians that live perpetually in the outer court. You know, where Christians live their lives by natural light and no revelation light, so that they can't build a temple for God to fill the glory with. You see, the temple proper is holy place and the most holy place. That's the term. That when Paul was describing it, he didn't talk about the outer court because he had no covering. Are you following me? So that is what I want to see. So we are Christians that live in the natural. They don't aspire to purge themselves. You don't know the difference between they are born again or they're not, but they are born again Christians. Those are the ones that are easily taken away. Praise the Lord. So I said, how do we do this? And God gave me an example. He said, the next verse says that them that escape of Israel, you know, and then next verse, what does it say? When the Lord shall have washed away the feet of the daughters of Zion. So we are to escape from Israel and move to Zion. Which means that starting from the outer court and then moving to the most holy place. And if you look at the best example I can give is the book of Genesis chapter 19 verse 17. Lot. When the angels brought him out, he said, escape to the mountain. Speaking of Zion, in types and shadows. I said we are to escape from Israel by diligently using the blood, the word and spirit to overcome the lust of the flesh and perfect holiness in the fear of God. As he said, and it came to pass when they brought him what? Brought them forth abroad. And he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape what? To the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But we know Lot refused to escape. When we talk about escape again, it's not a physical escape. But it says, watch and pray so you can escape the temptations. So we are to move. We escape the corruption that is in the world through loss. Praise the Lord. So we are to escape to Zion. And Zion speaks about the perfection of beauty where God shines. Praise the Lord. So in my studying, like I mentioned the other time when we were sharing, God gave me an example talking about the vineyard. I mentioned it last time we were talking on Sunday, but I could not fully explain it. Talking about the Christian. It's when you see the vineyard or the field in the Bible, it speaks about the Christian. It speaks about the church. God will say, I will visit my vineyard. Also, again, the other aspect that God showed me is that, you see, the vineyard also speaks about the soul. Because it is where the fruits come from. That's why you bear fruit. So it's not just the body of Christ generally. It talks about the soul. That's why when we pray, say, fill my will, my emotion with love, joy, peace. Because God wants to. So God is going to visit his vineyard. I follow him. So he talks about this in the book of Proverbs 24, which from verse 30, as we begin to round up. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Are we there? So let's begin to read. He said that, I went by the field, let's go, I went by the field of a slothful, and by the vineyard of a man that is void of understanding. That speaks of the mind. Are you following me? Next verse. And lo, it was all grown over with what? thorns and nettles are covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Before we move on, go back to Hebrews. Say, that which receives drink from heaven and does not bring fruit, and brings forth thorns and bears. So you know it's talking about Christians. It says it's rejected. You see, it is the fruit of the spirit. You bear the fruit of the spirit in your soul. So that's your vineyard. I found that he said that. He said, awake old north wind and blow outside and blow upon my garden and let the spices flow out. The fruit. So he said, okay, but that which bear thorns and briars is rejected and is now unto cursed, whose end is to be born. Let's go back to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24:30. Say, I went by the field of slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. Next verse. And lo, it was all grown over with what? Thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. What is the stone wall? We've been taught. Stone in the Bible speaks about revelation. Just like I said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That means this Christian had revelation before. But because he was lazy, he did not apply the revelation given to him. The stone wall, that was obviously a defense for him, fell down. It's because revelation is progressive, like Pastor says. So he refused to be diligent. He was lazy and slothful. So what happened? The stone wall that was around the vineyard fell down. Please go back to Proverbs. Next verse, please. And stone walls were broken down. Next verse. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Next verse. Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Next verse. So shall thy what? Poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So you see, the problem here that God wants us to emphasize is this. We cannot afford to be slothful or lazy. You see, Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You see, the moment you start taking it easy, that is sleeping here a little, there a little. Are you following me? That will not be a portion. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 6 again, Paul was saying the same thing. Yes, he was talking. You see, this, the problem we need to overcome now is spiritual slothfulness. That is the problem, because we know what we should do. But you see, we cannot be slothful about it. This guy said, I considered it, and I saw that the problem of this guy was not that he did not have a stone wall, but he slept. And he did not sleep. It wasn't a long sleep. Nobody will sleep for 24 hours when you're not in a coma. But the little ones who sleep that, okay, it's time to pray now. Here a little. You say, I can't pray. If I prayed in the morning. Then you go 12 hours, you don't pray. You see, the that process in which you've omitted praying, the enemy will be dropping thoughts, a particular shine, in the soul. That's how the thorns come from. That's where the bearers go. It's not the long hours of prayer. No, it's the short ones that you meet. A particular shine said, why men slept? Let me just express it. See, an enemy came and stole tears. It is that area of not lack of diligence. The enemy comes and just drops this. Then you just discover, why did I think like that? So when I heard that the guy brought, they prayed over his car. The reason is because before they prayed over that car, you were sleeping. You don't know what I'm trying to say. You see, somebody gets blessed or something happens, and then you react in a way. And it's, what is? It's good to identify, but the reason why it occurred is because you are sleeping spiritually at that time. Because if you're not sleeping, you are saying, praise God, thank God. God has really, I'm so happy, I'm so blessed. Are you following me? So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. 6-7. Talking about the same thing. Thank you, Lord. For the earth which drinketh of in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Next verse, verse 8. Same context. But that which bear thorns, refer to Proverbs 24, is rejected and is now unto cursing, whose end is to be born. Next verse, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Next verse. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. So the issue again is perfecting the love of God from that scripture. labor to perfect law, which you showed towards his name and administered to the saints. Next verse. And we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. Now, he identifies the problem again. It says, that you what? Be not slothful, but what? Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So these people already had the instructions to bear fruit. So what said, don't be slothful about it. Be diligent about it. Are you following me? So, and how do we attain unto this? In summary, like I said later on, God has opened another door for us to overcome this aspect of slothfulness, or let me put it this way, to overcome bearing briars and thorns. Like I said later on, when I was talking, it is through this avenue of corporate praying that we gather to pray through the new prayer that has been opened. Good morning, Jesus. You will find out that the things you've struggled with alone over the years, in the space of when you start joining the prayers and praying, you find that I can tell you that some of them just start going like that. That mom was sharing that day. He said, it's just like superfluity of nothingness. Giving a job. You see, why? It's because, you see, one, like Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. You see, what we have been trying to do in value all these years, that one is trying to put 10 down on the flight, 10, and God did not design them. We need a corporate anointing where we gather to pray together. It says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock has sold them and the Lord has shut them up? So you see, when we gather to pray, this new prayer that has been opened to everyone, you find that the things that have hindered us from bearing much fruit, it just begins to fall. That's what I want us to see today. My pastor just said in Mark 1:35, says, who in this wake up a great while before dawn and go to a spiritual place to pray? So the first thing to overcome is slothfulness, laziness, not being able to get your phone, get ready, and log on. Are you following me? So you cannot afford that aspect. That means everything must be working towards 5 o'clock before you go to bed. You will be working towards 5 o'clock before you go, okay, I have these prayers, I cannot miss it. Because just as you are contributing to help other people to put their own 10,000 to fly, you too, there are some people are joining forces with you, even though you don't know them, to put your 10,000 in families, whatever in your life, to fly it. Orchestrated by the Spirit. To give for bread together. That's why God commands his blessing, even blessing of life forevermore. Not to do that is to be lazy and to allow the stone wall to fall down and tons of barriers to grow, which is now a portion in Jesus' name. So that is what I want us to see. That is the first aspect. This battle prayer that we gather together and pray. And then the second one is what I said, washing off, which I've explained. And how do we do that? Which I said, Proverbs 24, verse 33. Let's look at that scripture again before we close. The problem is here a little, there a little sleep that will sleep. So yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, that's idleness, to sleep. So shall your poverty come as an untraveled and as an armed man. But like I said, the time I was reading that scripture about some days ago, and God spoke to me, said, it's not the problem of sleeping. I've given a way of escape. That is, after you do this corporate prayer, it's not going to sustain you alone. It gives you the boost to move in the day. Now you have to pray here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, let's open to Isaiah 28, verse 10. So is that corporate prayer like digs the ground, breaks up the fallow ground? So either the fallow ground has been broken up, and you now go into the day, the field is ready to be sown in that day. So it's either you are sowing into it, or you allow the enemy to sow into it. Praise the Lord. So it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Next verse. Now this is key. Say, for with stammering lips and on our tongue will it speak to these people. Next verse. Oh, to whom he said, this is what the rest, wherewith you may cause where to rest, resting in the soul. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. But what I want to speak out there is this. The slothfulness that comes in by sleeping here a little and there a little can be overcome by praying in tongue with stammering and another tongue, here a little and there a little. Praise the Lord. That is what I believe God wants me to share today. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God and ask God to help us. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's examine ourselves where I've been taking things easy. God wants us to be diligent about these things. Washing our feet especially. When we come for this morning prayers, the good morning Jesus, then we'll follow up with diligent walk in the Spirit by washing our feet. That pastor has taught us. We pray at least 4 times daily, at every opportunity and in every temptation, praying in tongues. We confess our sins, we pray that love prayer, fill and cover my will, mind, emotions with love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness. Then we pray in tongues. Then we'll keep on doing that one all day long. So the precious fruit that God is waiting for can come forth and it can fill us with His glory. When we lift up our hands, it is an offering to You. And in liberty we worship and we praise. When we lift up our hands, it is an offering to You. And in liberty we worship and we pray. You deserve, You deserve, You deserve the lifting of our hands to You. You deserve, You deserve, You deserve. Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, in particular every sin of spiritual slothfulness. Praise Saint Jesus to have life. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come to me today, reminding me that You are coming for a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. I come to ask for mercy. I come to ask for grace afresh to diligently use the blood, the word and the spirit under covering to purge out the sin nature from my soul and my body, thus perfecting holiness in the fear of God, so that I can be filled with Your glory even in this third day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name.